One. What's up, everybody? The world's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast with Larry. And we have a very good show coming your way. Another week in the books. It's March Madness right now, but we already covered that earlier this week. Check out my show with Ramblin' Russ Miller if you're interested in that. But we have our own March Madness going on in this world, so let's talk about it. As I mentioned, when they came in, two of my favorite people to talk to on a Thursday, Carl and Ryan are here. What's up, you two?
How's it going, Matt?
I'm
How
swell.
Are you guys doing?
Good, pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. Spring has sprung. We're getting closer to real warm weather. The days are longer. Lots to look forward to. But we've had quite a few things and a nice mixture. We have some sports stories for you, some music, some funny questions, and all of the stuff we usually do. So let's begin with this now. All right. Let's start with a sports story, a baseball-related story. And we'll mention that early next week, we will do our Major League Baseball preview show as we get ready for baseball. And I'll have somebody on there early next week, as I mentioned, as our NFL show is early next week as well, because my other host that day got sick. So we got football and baseball for you early next week with another tweet cap. We're actually going to start this tweet cap with a big sports story that I think transcends everywhere. All right. The name is Shohei Ohtani. Ryan, you know who Shohei is?
I do.
Carl, you know.
Few baseball players I know.
Yeah, I am well aware.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. He almost went to Canada, right? That was the rumor?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just, a lot of girls think he's hot on TikTok, so I've had no choice but to see him over and over and over again.
Excellent. Well, yes, that's right, Ryan. He was very close to be, well, I don't know, very close, but he was rumored to become a Toronto Blue Jay, but he wound up.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that. I heard that, yeah.
That's right. But maybe the Blue Jays dodged a bullet when you're about to hear what happens here, right? So, all right, here's the story. Shohei Ohtani. Genuinely, as Ryan mentioned, one of the few baseball players he knows, he is the face of Major League Baseball at the moment. Huge star, all-star, hasn't made the postseason yet, but he is a stellar baseball player, both as a hitter and a pitcher, though he will mostly hit this season because he's recovering from UCL injury in baseball. So elbow's a little messed up, so he's just going to focus on hitting. But his hitting alone makes him one of the best baseball players around. He signs a $700 million contract over 10 years. This winter, things are looking great for the Dodgers, who are already loaded. They signed Yamamoto as well. Dodgers cannot have more momentum, right? So technically, the Major League Baseball season started earlier this week in Seoul, South Korea. They did an international series, Dodgers and Padres. Shohei did fine in his debut, and everything seems all good, right? But then a story comes out. The story was reported that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, now Shohei, if you don't know, is from Japan, and he has an interpreter with him, right? Or I should say he used to have an interpreter. Ippi Mizuhara, excuse me if I mispronounce, but it's Ippi Mizuhara, was a longtime friend and former interpreter of Shohei, right? So it was reported that Mizuhara was fired yesterday amongst gambling debts, right? So it was discovered that he owed over $4.5 million to a betting ring in Southern California. And one thing there, legalized betting is not allowed in California and obviously not illegal gambling. So it was originally reported that Shohei Ohtani was a great friend to Ippi. That's his first name. Let's call him Ippi. So he was a great friend to his translator and allegedly covered the $4.5 million in debt. Seems fine, right? But then just an hour later was reported that that money was actually stolen from him. And he's a victim of that theft. So why is this fishy, if you will? On one hand, Shohei Ohtani might have covered his friend's debt. But on the other hand, people are saying that it's theft. So two conflicting stories. And the stories change all day. And the issue is, that it was discovered that Shohei did in fact wire money to this gambling ring. And why is that an issue? One, they can't confirm or deny if Shohei actually made the bet himself, and Ippy might actually be the fall guy for this. Two, you cannot wire transfer $4.5 million to a betting ring in general, breaking a California and federal law, which Shohei might have to be held responsible for. And three, if it is discovered that he is betting, and if he's betting on baseball, and specifically the translator, that would mean that Shohei would be held responsible, even funding the bet, and he could face a lifetime ban if it's discovered that he himself made the bet or provided the funds for it. Now, Shohei has not made a comment. In fact, after his game today, the PR team said no media whatsoever to the Dodgers, not being able to question him. They're now going back to Los Angeles, and now there is a federal investigation that involves Ohtani and the translator. So a lot is on the line here, and the big thing that they have to make sure, and the thing here is that baseball has to make sure, is that there was not one bet placed on baseball, because again, if it's discovered that Ohtani funded a baseball bet or made a baseball bet himself, he is banned for life, ruining his legacy. That would be the first official major sport gambling scandal since gambling was legalized across the United States in 2018. And it would just be a huge mess that I don't think baseball can recover, and especially the integrity of its sport.
Yeah, so, and I mean, in Japan, I'm not sure how legalized gambling is, but it's at least, like, I'm pretty sure culturally very frowned upon. So he's also not going to have a good time, like, if he has to end up going home.
Exactly. So we know one thing. The interpreter is pretty messed. He's done. we can confirm that. He no doubt has his name here. It's just wondering Ohtani's involvement in this. Now, the thing that... Now, baseball, I love the game of baseball dearly. It's my first love. But baseball is widely known for not holding their players accountable. Whether you want to go back to the steroid scandal, it took Congress to embarrass them to finally admit that they had a steroid problem. They literally had a baseball team cheat to win a World Series. They didn't get suspended at all. And at this moment, baseball is not having an investigation on Ohtani. Now, some people may think, oh, it's because it's your biggest star. You want to sweep it under the rug, and you're known for letting players get a pass. But the thing here is there is a federal investigation. And from what I hear and the sources I read, they're going to let the feds take care of it first. And then from there, they will see they will decide if it's appropriate for baseball to make an investigation. But regardless, due to this gambling scandal, there will be a dark cloud on Ohtani, a dark cloud on the Dodgers. Baseball will be frowned about for a while, and it's going to be a very long season because this isn't getting decided in 2 weeks. And yeah, this could really look bad. This is all of the sporting league's worst nightmare, and baseball might be the first one to, you know, suffer from this if this all comes true. So,
yeah, I think they also want to protect him as well, because baseball's huge in Japan, and yeah. I'm pretty sure he brings in probably quite a few fans, just in general to watch him. I've heard that a lot of people have been thinking that a lot more Japanese people would come overseas to see him versus if he wasn't in the league. So,
yeah. Absolutely, this is a literal international star, and it looks really bad. So lots to soak in. There's still a lot of research to come in here. I want to go on the record saying, I hope this isn't true. I genuinely hope that Ohtani didn't bet for a wide range of reasons, especially for the integrity of the game. And the fact that, as I mentioned, baseball is its own worst enemy when it comes to public relations.
Yeah, I think he's cool as hell. A lot of people, I'm into anime. A lot of people in the anime community compare him to a character named Goro who can hit and pitch, and
yep.
there just hasn't really been a player like him. So it would be nice if it's not true.
Exactly. You don't want to see a corrupt star of your league either, and athlete.
Well, so I want to go on record here, like Matt just did, and say I don't think he, Ohtani, placed the bet. I also don't believe. I mean, as crazy, I like simple. Simple would be Ohtani placed a bet for $4.5 million or various bets for $4.5 million.
All accumulated.
So that's the simplest explanation. Is he's betting and he made a payment to his bookie. I don't, for some reason, I don't believe that's what's happening here. I truly believe the original story, not the stolen story. There's no stolen funds. That's very clearly, they checked the rules again, said, oh, we could actually still get in a bunch of trouble, even if that's the case. I believe the Good Samaritan story, that his buddy got in too deep and Ohtani bailed him out. I do believe that story. And I'll say this, if that ends up being true, I hope the charges against him are dropped by the federal, you know, I know his name is on the sports book, I get it, but I hope that any charge they want to bring against him for being part of the book, for having his name in the book, get dropped. And I hope if it ends up that baseball is on that list, now I don't think that they will do this, I think that they will honor their precedent that they've set, that any baseball betting would be a permanent ban for life, that they consider not. And the reason I say that, and I know that changing the rule would be a firestorm and ruin the honor of the game or whatever, but I think what's ruining the honor of pretty much every sport in the United States of America collectively is the insidious rise of sports gambling. This dude got $4.5 million in debt. He is not a professional ball player. This interpreter, if this is true, is a regular dude whose skill set includes can speak Japanese. $4.5 million this person racked up in sports betting. He needed an international star to bail him out. That's how in debt he got from sports betting. It's an absolute problem. And if the only thing they come around to this is that we have to put Ohtani, you know, in his place, or we have to ban Ohtani, if that's the takeaway from all this, then shame on the sport. And I know you disagree with this, Matt. We could talk about it, but everyone's going to be sitting in the FanDuel freaking press box looking at the DraftKings seventh inning stretch, right? We have all this betting in sports. People are actually getting into some serious trouble because of it.
And also, Ohtani, don't forget the fact that this is through an illegal bookie, too. In a state where
I understand is legal. Yeah, I understand the legality of it. I get that. But I'm saying that you could get into a crazy amount of debt totally legally in most of the states in this country. And a bunch of people do. It's making people poorer. It's making people angrier. It is ruining, in my opinion, most sports, at least to some degree. And I know that baseball is not my sport, but I do have sports that I follow. And those sports are equally being ruined by the sports gambling problem. So I hope that they look at this as alerting. I hope they look at this as for what it is, a gambling problem, and figure out how to keep it so people are not getting $4.5 million into sports gambling debt of any kind, illegal or legal. That being said, he definitely placed the bet. So he's definitely banned for life if there's any baseball. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, if there's any baseball in there.
Exactly. So as you mentioned, yes, Mizuwara, he's done, and this is definitely an example.
Yeah,
he's an example of the worst parts of gambling. But the thing is, and they have to figure out, and so also to make clear, the bookie himself, I think his name's Bowery, if I get that right, Bowery.
Yes, who has not been charged with anything as of this moment.
Yes, but he is incarcerated. He's detained. And
detained for questioning, yeah.
Right. I know the big thing here is the feds are going after him, especially running this league in a state where it's completely illegal at all. Also raising his charges.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was just saying, there is a boss. I don't remember the name. I want to say it's Nix or something like that, N-I-X.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that they are questioning this Bowery guy, but not about Ohtani or Mizuhara.
Right. That's what they're trying to find out.
About Nix, the person who is actually in charge of the book. Bowery's just the bookie that they used. There's someone who's actually in charge of the book.
Right. And also it's just the Okay. And the problem here, and what makes it suspicious, is having the wire tap, sorry, having the wire have Ohtani's name on it. Again, they clearly didn't see a mafia movie. You go to a parking lot or you go to a mountain, you go with the, you hand the big bags of cash, no questions asked, and then you go. Because he put his name on it, that's also the Ohtani camp trying to cover his ass by saying it's really theft. Hence, so the big mess.
It's so hard to steal money that way. Like, to steal money, but not by physically stealing it, but by, like, going in and wire transferring someone else's money using it. That is such a hard thing to do. Literally, I don't know how they get... There's no way that works. It's obvious that that
exactly.
Didn't
so hence, makes no it looks more suspicious.
They just got to hope that the charges against him are dropped by the feds and there's no baseball bet. At this point, if I'm the Ohtani camp, that's all I'm hoping for, is that there's no baseball bets in there. But like I said, I do think that there's a much deeper problem here than what happens to Shohei Ohtani or his interpreter. It has to do with, you know, baseball and all sports have gotten into bed with gambling. It's what drives most sports fandom at this point. Definitely. And that's a problem. And this, I think, hopefully is an example of why that could be a problem. I don't think it will be. I think people are going to take, well, it's California, it's illegal, it's a bookie. They're going to find a million different reasons why they could still use DraftKings and not feel bad. But
Well, do you think that the feds will try to make an example of this if they find a question this guy and trying to have him admit any of Ohtani's involvement here? Or or finding a baseball bet? I want to put on the record, the interpreter said he's only bet on college football, NFL, college basketball, NBA, and soccer.
Yeah, which is all the sports but baseball. Which is suspicious. But I would say no, unless they think that by doing so they can get the person they want. They don't. I don't think they care that much if Ohtani placed a bet on baseball. I really don't. I think they care more deeply about getting the person who runs this operation.
Yeah.
So if they think that pinching Ohtani can do that for them, then they will. But if they don't think it will help them at all, then they probably will just leave it be, because it's gonna. He's a rich man. He can fight this if he really wants to. I don't know if he'll win, but so I don't know that they want to get into a tussle with Ohtani for no reason. But if they think it could help them get who they want, then yeah, I could see them going after it.
Yeah, and like I said, this story is going to continue for a long time, and we'll just see how this all unfolds. But the main thing here is they have to make sure that a baseball bet wasn't banned, and his bet at all, because it does say in the bylaws I read, if you make any wager whatsoever illegally, illegally, it's a 1-year suspension.
Right.
So we know that the translator did it, but they have to find out if Ohtani either funded it himself
or made the bet. Do
the actual bet. Now, he definitely funded the bail, as you see. Now they're trying to figure it all out from there. So,
yeah. I mean, hey, between this and Fanatics, MLB has never been more viral. So, maybe.
And that's what's so annoying. Baseball is not viral over the athletes or the teams making comebacks. It's always for something stupid, like the Astros scandal.
Like their underwear or a betting scandal.
Yeah, exactly. Or the uniforms, or again the steroids. They knew the steroids were a big problem in the league, but they turned their head because they were hitting so many home runs, and that actually attracted people to the sport. But again, until you got caught and you had to get a hearing from Congress, all hell breaks loose. So that's the thing here. I do have to move on, but it's a pretty messy situation. I am interested where it goes, but I hope we don't find out that the face of baseball is a crook. And I don't think we will, but, you know, we just got to see where it goes. All right. All right, all right, all right. Let us continue on. All right, this is interesting. So for a show like us, we're finally actually making his topic debut, Mr. Beast, literally the biggest YouTuber in the world, right? I mean, I definitely respect his grind, and I really appreciate his story to get where he is. I don't consume his content, but he had a very interesting quote he put out a tweet earlier this week, or he actually put it last weekend, that people felt were contradicting. So let me read you the tweet. You tell me how you feel about it, and we'll go from there. So he tweeted on March 14th that it's painful watching you wannabe YouTube influencers to quit school and jobs for a pipe dream. For every person like me that makes it, thousands don't. Be smart, please. That's what he said. So, okay. He's not wrong. And there's definitely a lot of people who want to be viral stars. And there's a lot of people who are influencers who want to be big. There's a lot of people who just make content who want to do it for a career, right? And clearly here is an example of that. I will say it's easy for him to say that, but I could understand somebody trying to make their dream come true to hear how it's a pipe dream. That's the only problem I had. I do agree you shouldn't quit your job to focus on content full time if you don't have another means of income. Now, if you have a means of income to pay your bills, then quit your job. But, you know, we do have to pay for stuff. But as long as you have that, which not a lot of people do, it is hard. So I don't blame Mr. Beast for saying that, and he's completely right. But I don't like people who are on the other side trying to denounce how hard it is to make it. And they're not wrong in saying that either. But somebody else has to make it one day too, right? But that's the point of showing how bad you want it, how creative you can be, how original you could be, how informative and entertaining as well, and finding your groove into putting yourself in the mainstream like that to get an audience. So I did not like the small, discouraging part that I felt from that. But as long as you have your ducks in order, as long as you know where you're getting your income to pay for your bills, and as long as you know it's going to take an extremely long time to make those big, ambitious goals, then go for it. Why not? We have one life to live, right? So I do respect Mr. Beast for what he said. Just don't really point out how discouraging it can be, even if it is true.
All right. I didn't have a problem with what he said. I didn't have a problem with the tweet. I also don't watch a lot of Mr. Beast's content. I only know what happens when he ends up in the news, like the regular news for whatever. But I mean, I guess pipe dream versus just saying, like, you know, dream or whatever. Like, I get it. Maybe some of the semantics could have been better, but I think what he's probably reacting to is less people who are creating content and they want it to be their career, but they've got a plan. They got like a business plan, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they've thought about it. I feel a lot of kids, like young kids. I don't just mean like, you know, college kids, young kids who have kind of decided that they want to be an influencer when they grow up. And I get, like, when you're a little kid, like we were all little kids, right? You want to be like an astronaut or like a rock star, something crazy hard, right? Yeah. Something that's not easy to do, but you knew you couldn't do it like straight up. Like, it's not something that could just happen for you. You had to you still had to go to school. You still had to practice at something. You still had to learn. You still had to develop skills. And then you chase your dream and you see where you land. If a 10-year-old decides they want to be like a content creator professionally, like a famous YouTuber, I'm not just saying content creator professional. I mean like famous YouTuber. They could get on like their iPhone and start the next day. And that's going to ruin a lot of, I think, important like parts of that kid's life. That it's going to take them out of like really important learning moments. And I think that's what he's reacting to. I don't think he's saying like, I mean, like, look, the little insider here on the show, Kara, you create content as your primary income, right?
Yeah.
So, and then Matt and I, obviously we both create content, not our primary income, but we both have jobs.
I mean, I've said before, I don't necessarily think it should be like encouraged. If you have like a specific niche that you can appeal to, or you're just really driven to make like some kind of content that you think can make it big, I think that's more fair than just I want to be famous and make my money online.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I would say, like for me, like as a writer, that's like I do this show, of course, but the content I try to create is writing. I'm a writer, and so, but I had to learn how to do that, and I have a plan, right? And I didn't start at 11. I didn't start writing stuff at 11 years old and just like, posting on forums, whatever came to my brain. You know what I mean? Like I still had to go through a lot of the very important like steps of growing up. And I think that because influencer can really happen at any age, we see kids who are young in influencers now. It's making people want to just be famous, rich people right off rip. And I do think that's a problem. I think that's what he's reacting to. I don't think he's talking about people who have a plan for a business and think they can fill an actual niche in entertainment or in education. I think they're talking about like kids who are like, I just want, and they're like, I'll do prank videos. Like I've seen 200 prank videos. I'll do a
Oh
prank
my
video.
God.
You know what I mean? Like,
Prank YouTubers, it's like a scourge.
I think that they're, but again, kids too, because even adults who are doing it, we can assume, we don't know, but we can assume there's like a business plan, right? They know when they're going to post. I know what content they're going to put. You know what I mean? Like they're running it like a business is my guess. Kids are not. 10 years old, you're not running it like a business. And if you are, then you know what? Go for it. But I think that's his point is like, think about your future in a way that's reasonable. Don't just go for the moonshot. Like, develop a plan, develop the skills, and then tackle it. And you're just not doing that at 15. You're not developing those skills at 15.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, and as I said, I definitely appreciate what that type of honesty, no doubt. All I'm saying too is just don't also look at it as like, I'm on the other side. I have to, be the dad in this and be the, I want to choose my words carefully too, because I don't disagree with what he's saying. I'm just saying, keep that
The wording.
reality. Yeah, keep that reality. Understand the reality, but know even amongst that reality, you can accomplish your goals if you know what to do to approach that and how long it will take.
Yeah, and I don't think he was trying to stop people from doing that. I think the
Yeah, I
words.
think, yeah, he just maybe didn't use the perfect word so that it could be interpreted 100% how he intended it to be, but yeah.
That I took it to mean less like that. I don't think he was trying to say no one should try and do what I did. I think he's saying that most people won't, even if they try. So you have to understand what that means and what that looks like and what you're doing. Like you have to have a
Yeah.
plan.
And I mean
You can't just do it.
all my income right now comes from content creation, but then at the same time, like I'm in school right now because I mean a lot of my work is heavily based on how I look, and it's not like I'm gonna be 40 and still wanting to do what I'm doing now. So I'm in school, like I'm working towards stuff. I don't think it would be smart to encourage people to just not continue bettering themselves. I don't know.
I agree. I think, and I think that's the point. It's just have a plan, develop your skills. Don't just put all your eggs in, early, especially early. Don't put all your early eggs in, I'm going to be a famous YouTube star, because it's hard to do, and it's something that you need to practice,
I kind
essentially.
of have a good example of this. I have a little brother who really wanted to be a pro gamer, COD. He was never that good. He like blew off school. He hasn't graduated high school because he was so determined to be a pro gamer. And then he a few years after he turned 20 realized, huh, I have nothing. And he started to come to terms with like, he's not going to be a pro gamer. What am I supposed to do with my life now? And I have nothing built up to try to switch to something else.
I mean, I'll say this though. I play Fortnite and these kids are very good. These children are pretty good. They absolutely wreck me. But that's me saying that. Like, I'm not playing against like the best in the world. So if you just because you killed me four times doesn't mean you're ready to go pro, you know what I mean?
I think it's fair to understand the realistic world that's out there, but understanding as long as you are prepared for that, and especially the time for what you want to do and how long it'll take, you can make it work. So as long as you understand that coming in, and especially having the income stream, then I say go for it. But just understand, there is luck involved, but It's okay to go for that. Yeah, so I just wanted to say, Mr. Beast, again, I don't disagree, but I think we all come to the conclusion, just use better wording to not make it not seem so contradicting, because that's what a lot of the comments I saw regarding that. So people's like, oh, it's easy for you to say that, but yeah, you made it. Or people saying, you know, how come you could do it, I can't? I think that's what was misconstrued here.
Yep, and I see that too.
Yeah, and it's just, it's also similar. There's this producer, I'll never forget, hearing him. He's a radio producer in New York. I won't say his name. A rare time won't. But he does a podcast, right? Well, he's a radio producer. You hear him on the radio, and he does a podcast, which I listen to both. And by the way, I disagree with a lot of what he says in general. But I think it's important for me to hear the other side, even if I disagree. And sometimes I think he's an annoying old man. But I do think he's very good and entertaining, and I listen to his stuff. But someone asked him, how do you do what you do? He said, yeah, don't go for it. So hard, so niche. I was just lucky enough to be in a brand of this famous radio station to help get me that revenue. And again, even if that is true, you can't tell these people, like, you can't kick them to the curb like that when they have the opportunities to. Like, as long as they're alive, living and breathing, and have the revenue stream, why not go for it and try? And I know it's maybe easier for me to say that as a very ambitious person, but I do think my goals are still realistic to make what I want possible with this show and whatever I want. So again, if I was his shoe, I would just say, in this position, I would say, just have a plan and understand the timing it'll take for that. As long as you do that,
that's definitely the better answer.
Yeah. And as long as you do that, you know, you'll be part of that next generation of content creators, because eventually you're all going to fade away. And, somebody else has to step up. It's like, I'll never forget, there's this act. Do you know who the actor Clark Gable is?
I do, actually.
Yeah.
A very old timey actor.
So right? Really big in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Last role was in 62. There's a comedian talking about Clark Gable was literally the biggest star in the entire world for the first half of the 20th century. He literally couldn't be brought down. Yet if you mention him now, nobody knows who the hell he is unless you're a huge film person.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the point. Eventually, Seinfeld said it in his act once. New people every 100 years. So why not at least try with it? So that's what I have to say there. Okay. Now let's switch it up. Let's keep the movie theme going. James Bond, the most iconic movie characters ever, needs a new Bond. There have been 6 people who have been Agent 007. They're on the lookout for the next person. And guess what? There was a rumor earlier this week that the actor Aaron Taylor Johnson had a formal offer to become James Bond. Rumors of him being James Bond go as far as back as January 2023. So this has been going on for a year, for just about a year, that he would be the next Bond. And I'll read the article here from The Independent. So Aaron Taylor Johnson, the Tenet actor, made headlines on Tuesday, March 19th, when it was reported that the franchise producers were awaiting his response after making a formal offer to replace Daniel Craig as Agent 007. Taylor Johnson, 33, first rumored in January 23 as the new Bond, with producer Barbara Broccoli. It's literally broccoli. Barbara Broccoli had been left in, she had left impressed by the screen test with the actor, whose credit includes Kick-Ass, Bullet Train, and Nowhere Boy. Now, 7 months of awkwardly swerving questions about the rumors, he was once again attempted to pour water on the suggestion that he will play the British spy in an interview conducted before the offer was allegedly made to him. And in a new interview with Rolling Stone magazine UK, Taylor Johnson, who is promoting Sony's Spider-Man spinoff Kraven the Hunter, said, quote, "I can only really talk about the things I'm going to show and tell. So the Fall Guy, Nosferatu, Kraven the Hunter, I don't feel like I need to have a future drawn out for me. I feel like whatever is drawn out for me, I can fucking do better. Okay. So, weird, right? Again, when I officially picked the story, I thought we were going to talk about Aaron Taylor Johnson being the next Bond, which is still possible. But Variety did say that no offer was made, and it clearly Taylor Johnson is a swerving away for whatever reason. So, first things first, Kara and Ryan, assuming you know Aaron Taylor Johnson, kick ass, do you think he'd make a great James Bond?
I don't see why not. I mean, he's young, right? So that's different. 33 is young for a Bond, if I'm not mistaken. And he looks looks particularly young too. You know what I mean? He doesn't look like older than his years. It's probably the safest choice of the people that we've heard over the past however many years, right? I mean, well, I know you were pushing your boy Cillian Murphy for a bit. Yeah. That would have been interesting, but not normal, I would say. What was it? Regé Jean Page at one point was like the darling of the Bond. Right. Someone said Tom Holland, which would have been probably really bad.
Yeah, no.
Idris Elba was a popular one, but he's
Idris
very
Elba
old
was
that.
Popular, but he's like kind of too old to be Bond at this
at
point. I
like so Michael Fassbender would have been a good one.
I could see that. But yeah, so one of the safer choices for Bond, minus being a little young. I didn't even know he was British. So
there you go.
With you. Because I saw him obviously kick ass. He wasn't British in kick ass. But also he was in Marvel movies, and he was, what was he?
He was in Tenet, if you saw that. Again.
Yeah, he was in Tenet?
Yeah.
I gotta look it
Sokovian.
Up now.
Sorry, he was not a real country, but the Sokovian Accords. He was Sokovian in Marvel when he played Quicksilver. So yeah, I mean, I've always, again, played a lot of different things. He's been in actions. So I think he'd do fine.
And do you think all this swerving is him maybe not deciding yet? Does he want to take on the role? Does he want to sign up for the franchise?
Yeah, I'll be honest, that answer, the ending of that answer was super aggressive, right? It almost sounds, I know they said that there was no offer made. It almost sounds like there was an offer made and he hated it. And he was like, I could do whatever I want. I don't need you. And that was like his very public but subtle way of saying, you got to get closer to where I am if you want me to be Bond, because I don't need to be James Bond.
Interesting perspective. I kind of agree with you too. I don't know. I feel like, again, I'm not British, but I don't know. If I'm in the prime of my career, I get offered James Bond, and assuming I do well, my legacy is set forever.
Sure, but I mean, there's plenty of actors whose legacy is set forever who never played James Bond.
True. You know? I don't know. I feel like you're part of that rare company, with the exception of Roger Moore, who stunk at, or not to him, the Australian James Bond. What was his name? See, it's not memorable, but everybody else.
I mean, it's still, I'll say this James Bond is 7. This is 007, 007.
Literally.
That's kind of fun.
So. Quick, the Timothy Dalton one was the, no, he was good. Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm sorry. I figured the last moment. Oh, George Lansby, who people don't think was very good. I mean, I did see he wasn't very good, but I thought Daniel Craig was amazing. Obviously, Sean Connery's the GOAT. Pierce Brosnan was good. Again, Timothy Dalton was another good one. Roger Moore. So I don't know. I'm surprised. Maybe I don't know politics in it or whatever, but I feel
it's
like he would be awesome.
Too.
Yeah, but you know, those movies do make money.
Sure.
People will go to see them. And I don't know, you'll be known as James Bond. That's so cool, but I don't know, who am I? An American.
Well, if you get the accent, you could be James Bond, because it seems like they're still searching.
What do you think about this, Carl?
I mean, I'm not really a huge James Bond fan. I mean, I've seen Kick-Ass and I'm aware of him. I mean, maybe he just doesn't like the character and isn't interested. Or maybe he's gotten offers that would maybe happen around the same time that he's just a lot more interested in.
yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. I just feel this would be a cool opportunity, but then maybe not. But I still
I don't disagree.
We'll
maybe he's afraid of, I don't remember what actor said it, but he said, if you want to become a truly great actor, no superhero movies. And obviously it's not a superhero movie, but maybe he's, maybe he's afraid of being typecast.
He's already been a superhero, I will say.
Yeah. But I mean, like, in a traditional, like,
he's been a traditional superhero too.
Which one?
He was Quicksilver in the Marvel movies.
Oh, really? Well, then screw me, I guess.
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, I've heard that quote, but I'm just saying, in terms of him, he might be thinking that, I don't want to be, like... Well,
typecast, but then, yeah. I mean, if he's already been in superhero movies and stuff, that wouldn't really make sense.
And he's going to be in Kraven the Hunter, which is another superhero property. But I do wonder, like, Daniel Craig, his IMBD around the Bond films wasn't heavy. It wasn't until the end of his tenure as Bond that he started doing other stuff. So it's possible that
he was a character actor.
It's possible that he just doesn't want to get, like, he knows that being Bond is a huge commitment and it's going to take up most of his time.
Yeah.
And maybe he just doesn't want to commit that much time to being James Bond. And I could see even that being where he wants to do maybe one or two movies, but typically you do more than that. If you take on Bond, usually you have your own arc of like 3, 4, 5 movies. Right. I mean, I don't think I'm making that up. I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Usually you get like, between 3 to 5 films.
Right. So maybe he's like, he wants to do like a one shot or something. He'd play Bond, but he doesn't want to do it for too long and they won't let someone do that. You know what I mean? Like, it could be something even like that, where it's not that he doesn't want to be Bond. It's that he doesn't want to do the time commitment for 5 years of being Bond.
Yeah.
And so he's maybe playing hard to get. In the, you know, publicly, that I think that quote sounded like he wants them to hear it. It changed something. I don't know if it's the amount of movies, the amount of money, but it sounds like he wants them to change something. Right. It sounds like he's open to it, but he's going to do what he wants, and they got to meet him where he's at, or he's not going to be James Bond.
I'm so curious who else did screen tests. So curious.
That would be fun to find out, like, just to see the screen tests too, to see if they really were good.
Let me take one last Google test. Screen tests for new Bond. Like, who was invited? I just got a bunch of... Yeah, it's just a bunch of nothing. Just a bunch of suggestions, which include Cillian Murphy.
Who's the dude from Game of Thrones?
There are many dudes.
Jon Snow.
Not Jon Snow. Not Jon Snow.
Peter Dinklage.
Rob Stark. The actor played Rob Stark. Something Madden.
Rob Stark. Okay. By the way, this was written by GQ. Rob Stark. His name, he's portrayed by Richard Madden.
There you go. He'd be pretty good.
Yeah,
He was in a similar Netflix series for a little bit, where he's like a bodyguard or something. So wore the suits, the gunfights, the whole 9 yards. So yeah, he'd do well. Someone call Richard Madden.
How about Theo James?
Who's that?
I don't know. He's in The Gentlemen. I don't know who he is either. This is GQ's list of who they think should go.
My brain went to Theo Vaughn when you said Theo James, and I was like, "What are you talking about? I thought you were gonna have to do a wellness check on."
So
like, I can only see Theo James as like this one character from the Divergent movie series. I just couldn't get over it.
Oh, he's in Divergent. I saw one of those.
What about?
Yeah, he was 4 in Divergent.
Okay, I know who that is now. All right, yeah, sure, why not?
What about Barry Keoghan, who's on a little of a hot streak? He was in Saltburn.
I don't know if he could do it. He's a little too rebellious.
Yeah, he's playing Joker, you know, in the Pattinson.
And then
Batman.
Obviously the Saltburn stuff.
Yeah, that'd be a weird choice.
It'd be a weird switch. I mean, if he can do it, great, but that'd be a weird switch.
Daryl McCormick?
Looks too vaguely like Elon Musk for me.
He does look like weird. Elon Musk. A muscular Elon Musk, yeah.
I think I know for a fact he auditioned for this, but Henry Cavill, during the Daniel Craig era. And he still looks the same. Like, this is 20 years later. He still looks the same. How about you pick him?
He's old, though.
Yeah, but Doesn't look
good. Who cares, I guess. Yeah, but
Charles,
he looks like the Giga Chad meme.
Charles Melton. You know
no
who that
idea.
Is?
No.
Okay. But he was Ow. In May December in Riverdale.
I didn't see May December. I've seen like three
Wait,
episodes of Riverdale.
What's his name?
Charles
Melton.
Melton.
Melton. Oh. Yeah,
all
he
I
was in
remember
Riverdale a little bit. I don't have like any memories of him though.
Have you
all I
wa-
remember from Riverdale is when they did the song Milkshakes.
Oh wait. Ryan, how about
which
this?
Is so funny. I laugh every time I see that clip.
Two more suggestions that we'll go. How about Alan Richardson from Reacher? He was also in the Iron Claw,
know.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, again, it all depends
this
on how
must
they
be
did.
A bad list.
I'm not seeing it, but it depends on how they did. In the,
okay.
You know what I mean? In the test.
They suggest Will Poulter, you know.
Will Poulter. I know that
from
name.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Bear.
Oh, the dude with the eyebrows.
Yeah.
That are like.
The one who is in the, what's it called?
He's got these eyebrows.
He was in, the movie. He kissed Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. With the when they're a fake family.
Yeah.
Oh, we're the Millers.
We're the Millers. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
And he's in the Maze Runner, too. I remember
I
him from
know.
That.
I mean, I get he's buff and attractive now.
He doesn't look very Bond-like.
Yeah, I still don't get James Bond off of him. Again, congrats on being buff and attractive now, by the way. But I'm still not seeing James Bond. I'm seeing just the kid from, you know, We Are the Millers went to college and hit the gym.
Wait, let me make sure. Is Jacob Elordi British?
Is he? I didn't think
find
so.
It. I don't think so either. So why are they suggesting that?
Can you do a British
accent?
I mean,
you could just, you could just fake a British accent. I don't see why
True,
not.
But
it's about
keep
time.
The tradition.
It's about time the Americans took one of their jobs.
Oh my God.
They come over here, take
Actually,
all of our acting jobs.
Jacob Elordi's Australian, so that would work.
That's unfortunate.
So
who's an American?
He,
I'm rooting
I
for
think
an American.
I think he's too good looking to be Bond. Well, no, that's not, no such thing. Taron Egerton. This list
like
just
his,
has every A-lister who's
yeah,
not
I feel
American.
Like, yeah, I feel like his time would have been late, earlier. I feel like he might be a little bit past being Bond in terms of where he is now.
Okay. I'm not kidding, Ryan. This is British GQ has Cillian Murphy twice. They really want him. I think
he would do a good job.
He would be the weirdest Bond of all time. It'd be the strangest movie ever made with a James Bond character. He doesn't look like James Bond. He doesn't act like James Bond.
I think he doesn't. Definitely doesn't look like James Bond. But I mean, I've seen how wide his like range is acting. That I think he would do totally fine in the role. I just don't know if he really looks the part.
I think he'd be awesome in a Bond movie, but not as James Bond. He'd be a great Bond villain. That's my honest opinion. And I know that he's an A-lister and a big star now, and he can't be the villain anymore. But I saw Peaky Blinders. He'd be an excellent Bond villain. He'd be a mid-James Bond at best. I don't think he'd be good at all.
Well, we said Matthew McFadden will definitely be a James Bond villain.
Yeah.
How about him playing Bond?
He's a little soft, isn't he? Like, looking?
He's too soft?
Too soft looking.
I see.
I'm not saying maybe he could beat me up. I don't know. But he looks soft.
Last one, last suggestion. How about Andrew Garfield?
No.
No.
Scrawny.
He played Spider-Man.
Scrawny. So did Tom Holland.
He doesn't have a kid. Yeah, but like they both have, like, even if Tom Holland was older, like they both just have like the nice boy look to them.
What about Robert Pattinson?
Huh?
Robert Pattinson.
He doesn't have the nice boy look to him. I think that could work.
He's Batman, though. He's busy.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire.
No.
No.
We're going for an American.
I try to. Who's a badass looking American? With black hair. Well, I guess you could
black
be blonde.
Hair.
James Bond.
Yeah, I don't think
Daniel Craig was blonde. How about John Cena?
John Cena. No, it'd be horrible.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Cody Rhodes.
You mean his bald Dwayne, just Bond, James Bond. It just sounds like The Rock talking.
Well, I
what's
know
his name though. I literally had a name and then it disappeared. That's crazy. I had a real name.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Captain America. What's he doing? He's not doing anything.
Not feeling it.
Well, if he got a British accent, I say he gets over there and he does the screen test.
Well, one of the many reasons why Indiana Jones was created is because they wouldn't give Steven Spielberg permission to make a James Bond. He actually went to the studio and he wanted to. So one of the reasons why they made Indiana Jones, and if you've seen Temple of Doom, he's wearing a white tux with a red bow tie, and that is a reference to Sean Connery. So you just make something up that way, I guess. All right, but moving on. Now let's talk about another movie star. Or maybe, you know, maybe Glenn Powell. Oh, no, not him. He won't put Bond. But his co-star, Sydney Sweeney, came out saying that she would love to collaborate with Margot Robbie, causing a whirlwind of people bonking, needing to get bonked and being horny. Because... have you seen the tweets everybody was saying of them teaming up? Again, instead of matching their genuine talents, all people were writing like, you know, how about this? Brokeback Mountain for girls, starring those two.
That's crazy. Or,
I mean, I haven't seen any of the tweets, but I can 100% just imagine it.
Or just people showing how horny people are on Twitter. They were going nuts. Does that suggest it? I think they would be a great duo. Why
I'm
not?
I'm pointing this out.
Why not a suffrage movement movie starring?
Well, I don't think that Margot Robbie is into that. But Margot Robbie is confirmed to be producing anyway that Sims movie, right?
I never
Sims
played this.
With
so Sydney the two of
Sweeney
them,
and Margot Robbie, could both be Sims. That would be that could that works, right? It's a movie. It'd have star power because you know that they're going to want to try and fill it with stars like they did on Barbie. So I think that that would work really well. So I'm starting it now. The Sydney Sweeney for The Sims SSS campaign.
I never played The Sims. I just know they talk funny.
Simoliish. They speak Simoliish. But one of the funniest videos I've ever seen is Katy Perry, who is in a Sims game, I believe. One of like the DLCs recorded the song Last Friday Night. We know that song. In Simoliish.
Is it Simoliish or is it Simlish?
I don't know. There's an O, I thought.
I thought it was Simlish, but I could
be
wrong.
Is this a real? Is this a real language or is it a Sims language?
I mean, they made it for The Sims, but it's real and not all the Sims speak it. in every game.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is Simlish. Yeah.
Simlish. Yeah.
Simlish.
There's an O, but yeah.
Yeah. There's like a whole dictionary.
Yeah, but Katy Perry apparently practiced it and sang Last Friday Night in that language for the game. So if you became a rock star, you could sing that song. Which
so have
really
you actually
funny.
Played Sims? Like, yeah. I have no idea. So is it like Roller Coaster Tycoon? It's just a sandbox and you have people live?
Yeah, it's a sandbox game. Yeah, exactly. Your character.
So you just make
your
up
job,
a story on
house.
That, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very much in your head building. Yeah.
You can like torture them, lock them in rooms, make them go insane, trap them in pools until they drown.
You could. I don't. I just have a nice time with them, but yeah, you could do that. My wife actually really likes Sims. That's actually why we got the game. I never played it before, but my wife liked it, so I bought the game. And then she never played it, but now I do sometimes. So,
well, I hope those two make a genuine movie. I think they would be a great duo.
And if they don't make a genuine movie, I hope they make a Sims movie.
Well, write script, right? Ryan. Tell us what Taylor Swift did this past week.
Oh, boy. So Taylor Swift, shocking no one, is a you know, best-selling artist again. Her most recent release went to number one. What is shocking about this most recent release is that there's no music in it. It's completely silent. It's just words. The video, to be clear, it's not an album, but it's a music video with no music in it, and it's the number one music video in the country right now. I told my wife this by the way, and she immediately got on her phone and downloaded it. So yeah, it turns out Taylor Swift can have a number one, you know, music video without any music. This is the second time that something like this has happened. I forget, I want to say 2 years ago or something to that effect. She accidentally released a track that was just 8 seconds of static noise, and that too was a best-selling song by Taylor Swift. Because everyone was like, oh, this is so interesting. Like, she accidentally released a song, and they made sure that they had it on their albums. So yeah, Taylor Swift was able to go number one without releasing any music, just words on a page. Again, all in promoting her April 19th album, where presumably there will be actual music. But for now, she just has to be content being number one without any music. Which, if I'm not Taylor Swift, I gotta be bummed. Taylor Swift beat me, and she didn't even release a song. She just wrote a little note to her fans, and that was more popular than what I was able to put out, you know, this week. That's crazy to me. But turns out, Matt, you were right.
She is the most important person in the world. If she could literally whistle number one hit.
I mean, yeah, Static. She released Static to...
Did your wife, was she impressed by this? Did she feel like, oh, I'm getting the chills right now listening to this?
From the Static or from the video?
Yeah.
I don't know if she, I don't know if she got the Static, but she did see the video. Again, it's all to promote the Tortured Poets. So it's like a poem.
Oh, man. We might have to do a listening party with that one.
I might
as long as she doesn't allow... I feel Taylor Swift would allow the copyright to make more money.
No, Taylor Swift would block anything. She's about protecting those assets. I don't think she'd allow that. Her music's been pulled off TikTok. That wasn't her choice, but still. So, no, I disagree. I think Taylor Swift would ban this video in a heartbeat if we played a Taylor Swift song. Certainly a listening party.
So, Ikara, what are your thoughts? I don't know if we ever talked about Taylor Swift as a whole with you besides just her and her boyfriend.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I mean, maybe when I was in elementary school for like a year, but yeah, I don't really have much to say about her. I've never heard a single Taylor Swift song that I've liked, and I've had friends that are really into her and have sent me songs like, no, this one's different. This one's different. I don't get it.
Oh, I do like her. Wait, by the way,
me too.
We've established
just not my kind of music. Like, I can't, like, it's, you know, people like what they like, just not my thing. I don't like any pop, so
Ryan, what was the name of the track again?
This most recent one. Let me look it up real quick. I don't have it on me right this second, but
exactly a month from, or it's just about a month, April 19th, the whole world changes forever with another Taylor Swift, the Tortured Poets. They actually have the track listing here. And she's having Post Malone join and Florence and the Machine. Oh my goodness. Look at some of these tracks. This is going to be a hit. Florida with 3 exclamation points. She has a song called I Can Fix Him. No, I Really Can't. I Could Do It With a Broken Heart. This can't be. Okay. Reckon I'm looking at this at Wikipedia. So I admitted this could be totally wrong. But okay, these tracks can't be this stereotypical to Taylor Swift. My boy only breaks his favorite toys. But daddy, I love him. Okay, this has to be fake. But
no,
daddy,
that one
I love
real.
Him.
That
you
one
think she would
real.
Make a song called But Daddy, I Love Him?
I do.
Fresh Out the Slammer.
Why can't I find this clip that I sent to you?
Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Come on. That's not The Alchemy. LOML.
The ladies love this stuff. I'm telling you.
So Long, London. But Daddy, I Love Him. She has a song called Travis Kelce. I'm kidding. Not that obvious. But either way, though,
why can't I find that
Taylor Swift, talk about a tease. But good stuff there. Now, I was back and forth on this artist, but I think it's worth mentioning this one time, right? Kanye West. Oh, man, right? So Kanye West opened last week's Rolling Loud Festival on Thursday night, and he brings on And here's the thing here. It was a sellout crowd. It was him and his collaborator Ty Dolla $ign were the only acts for the Thursday night show. They're now a super duo named, I guess, Yeez Dolla $ign. Yeez. But they took the main stage, and all they did was actually, they advertised it as a performance, but all they did was play the album with the collaborators on it, which included Quavo, which included Chris Brown. His daughter, Northwest, was there. And yeah, there was tens of thousands of people there. Vultures, his most recent studio album, did go number one in the United States, mm-hmm. despite his bad reputation at the moment and not hitting much of a mainstream. So it seems Kanye, despite being Kansas, despite the legitimate horrible things that he said that we do not support or condone whatsoever, yet people will still come to see him. Isn't that interesting?
I mean, I've said it before. If you're famous enough, there's no such thing as canceled. Canceled's make-believe. It's either you're popular or you're not. And he's popular. I will say just real quick, not to go back, All's Fair in Love and Poetry is the name of the video that went number one on iTunes. It contains mm-hmm. no audio. So that's the name. If you want to check it out, give Taylor her more of her money. There you go. But yeah, back to Kanye. Yeah, I heard the new album. I thought it was fine. But yeah, the cancel thing, that's people who complain about being canceled are just people who are mad that they're not as famous as they thought they were. That's people who thought that, you know, see, that's people who thought they were popular and then they found out they're not.
Like, and, I mean, Chris Brown's going to be in Vancouver and I see people posting about, oh, I love Chris Brown. I can't wait to go see Chris Brown. So, I mean,
remember what he did, by the way?
Like, yeah. Whoa. Oh, yeah. I remember. A
long time ago, too.
Yeah. So, like, people who are complaining about being canceled are people who didn't realize that they weren't famous and they thought they were. And so the reason why Kanye doesn't care is because he is famous. He can do whatever he wants. Chris Brown, same thing. We've talked on the show about comedian Shane Gillis. Same thing. He didn't complain about being canceled. He just went back to doing his job. Why? Because he was popular. So, yeah, the folks who spend their time complaining are the folks who weren't popular. And that's unfortunately that's the truth of it. If you find yourself canceled, you should pause for a second and say, wow, I guess what I was doing wasn't working because no one stood by me. And then make a change. Be a better person. That would be my advice. But if you don't have to do that, if you don't want to, just understand what happened.
No doubt about that, Ryan. I totally agree. But I mean, yeah, like, it looks like as long as Kanye, hopefully I say this as seriously, but as long as he doesn't self-destruct, he will still keep making really good music. I will be on the record. Vultures 1 is an okay album. It's only okay. But the songs I really like are fucking awesome. Like,
yeah, you like that one song. Was it not Dog? What was the name of that one song?
I like the two ones I really like is Back to Me.
Yeah.
Back to Me. Which is with the Kevin Smith movie Dogma reference.
Yeah. I said Dogma. That the movie was Dogma. Yeah.
And honestly, the song with Northwest is awesome. It's your bestie, Miss Westie. I mean,
the Carnival song is the one. I think the Carnival song is the biggest one.
Yeah, everyone goes.
It's all over TikTok. I've seen a lot of actually Dune 2 edits to Carnival.
I will say, what is him and his wife doing? That's the weirdest, strangest relationship I've ever seen. And so talk about fashion statements.
Yeah, I don't know. Me and Matt have had offline conversations. I think the people in Kanye's circle ought to be ashamed of themselves. I think they are abusing this man who has, in my opinion, a very obvious case of not being like totally mentally okay. Mm-hmm. I don't mean like, you know, sick necessarily, but maybe. But he's clearly going through some stuff, and he has been for a few years now. And the people in his life have just decided that as long as the check's clear, they're good with it. And that, I think that's horrible. I don't want to say that she's part of that. I think she is, though. sorry. Maybe you're a nice person. I couldn't care less, to be honest with you. I think that there's a lot of problems in his circle, and no one's going to call it out, and I get that, which is why I hope, like you said, Matt, that he manages not to self-destruct, because I don't know that he'll have anyone there to help pick him back up. I mean, maybe his kids and stuff, obviously, but...
I hope he finds peace, and I don't think it's that far out of a statement to say he's one of the best rappers to ever live, especially in producers. The production value he was able to just figure out alone. I'm back to you. How did he make this movie again, like this cult classic movie in Dogma? How did he turn that into a beat, that throwaway line?
Yeah, he's got an ear for this. That's, you know, I think very good. He's also, again, he's a good performer too. He's like fun to watch perform in a way that a lot of, I'll be honest, I don't love watching rappers live. A lot of them. There's a few that I do. They're all bad people. maybe that says something about me. But Kanye is fun to watch live. I agree. I hope that he figures out what's going on. I do hope that at some point he realizes the things he said are also problematic. I'm not going to excuse him just because I like his music. He's never apologized. He's never probably going to apologize. And you're totally within your rights as a viewer to be like, I find that too much. I'm not supporting. So.
Exactly. So hopefully he finds peace. All right, let's do some questions. We haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
So we got some fun questions for you. So I did ask Ryan and Kara for this one question to be prepared, but we're first going to do another question.
Sure.
So I won't lie, this is a deep question. So here we go. If there is one friend that you wish can return to your life, maybe you had a falling out, maybe you went your separate ways, maybe, you know, whatever happened. But if there was one friend that you wish you can have back in your life, who is that friend? If you don't want to say their name, I understand. But if you can say a nickname, maybe initials, maybe completely make up a name. But who is one person that you would love to have back in your life?
I had in high school this friend, Emily, that I used to like basically live with for a short period of time. I don't even remember what happened between us. I think we had some kind of fight over something, but I have no recollection of it anymore. And I just remember her being very entertaining to hang around with. And I don't know, I hope she's doing well. But I haven't had a lot of close friends throughout my life, so it would just be nice to have one of the old ones that I just don't really talk to anymore. I think, like, throughout my life, I've had, like, two close friends at a time. Like, right now, I have, like, two IRL friends, and that's basically it, which I'm fine with because I'm not super social. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's pretty easy for me because I don't have a lot of people to choose from.
Hey. I appreciate you being honest like that. And where are your podcaster friends here too, Har?
Yeah, so I gotta say IRL. Like I've got some online friends and like my Discord and whatnot, but like people I actually hang out with in real life. It's actually, I don't have anyone I hang out with in real life in my current city because it's just hard to meet people. There's a lot of old ladies that I talk to a lot when I walk the dogs, but yeah.
Dogs are a good way to meet people and to socialize, I will say, having a dog myself. Mm. I mean, I'm pretty lucky that I keep in touch with a lot of my friends. I have a lot of friends here locally. I have friends from elsewhere. But I will say in high school, I had a lot of different friends. I'm not going to just pick one. Like, Matt knows these people, so you could just, in your mind's eye, picture some of those friends if you need to, Matt. But I had, like, a pretty...
Dr. Monroe.
No, but I had like a group of people that I would hang out with a lot. I haven't really spoken to them since that time, and I don't want to say I regret that specifically because I wanted to get out. I think I needed to prove to myself that I could leave and do something on my own. I think I have at this point. Maybe I've lived too many places, but At this point, I think I have proven that I can do that. I've changed a lot as a person in that time for the better. And, you know, my confidence and whatnot in a lot of ways, not always, but a lot of ways. So, but it'd be cool to reconnect to some of those people from when I was, you know, again, very different person, very, you know, very mousy, very whatever. To get to talk to those people again would be fun. I think that would be a good time.
That's really sweet. So for Emily out there and Ryan's high school group, be really sweet. Really sweet. And as for me, I brought this up because I just saw some clip on it. Thought it was sweet about getting back in touch. And it's the stories was David Grohl, you know, of Foo Fighters, Nirvana, famous, really famous. I mean, as legendary as it seems. On the Tonight Show in the late 90s, he said, "Hey, I have a friend named Johnny Park out there. Where are you, Johnny Park?" He said on the Tonight Show. He put a he wrote a song about it too. That's how they got in touch.
That's so kind of fun.
If there is this chance that this person comes back, I'll say it. I'll just say the initials. If Andrew Garfield can come back, I'm kidding. No, I probably would say Double C to come back. Be cool to see what they're doing. And you knew I was making this podcast at the very beginning. And I've always wondered, I knew they were always supportive when we did go our separate ways, but we still have a lot of work to do, but it's in a good place. And I don't know, and I saw that story and something made me remember them. So it'd be great to get back in touch someday. That'd be cool. All right, now let's switch it up. Tell me something. All right. Okay, so we got a little deep for a second. So now this is going, let's take a 180 on this one. I want you guys to reflect on your favorite sexy time songs. And we are going to name our top three sexy time songs. And I listened to this song on the radio, Between the Sheets by the Isles Brothers. And I was like, man, this is an awesome sexy song. Sexy time song. Let's make a segment out of this. That's number three in the top, my top three sexy time songs. And again, if you want to use this for making love, being intimate, or just having a vibe, maybe you can make a little playlist on this. So I'll first put on Between the Sheets by the Isles Brothers, which inspired me to do this segment.
Oh, we're doing like 3, 2, 1?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's faster. We'll just do the other two. I have that. I have Feeling This by Blink-182. A little more fast pace, more sure. Jumpy up, feels good there. Nice nostalgic song. And hear this, you gotta hear this, right? Put on The Zone by The Weeknd and Drake. When I first heard that in college, it unlocked the boy into a man. Because when I hear that song, I'm just like, yeah, got it in you to have some confidence in yourself.
You got it in you.
And I'm going to risk the copyright to play it right now. We played this artist, and I know he allowed it the first time. But
okay.
But there's this song, right? It's like that very old Weeknd.
No, oh, we heard a little bit, then it went away.
Well, hold up. But I'll adjust it a little later. But you see, with The Zone, right? I don't only use it for sexy time. In fact, I've never used it for sexy time. But but there's just something about this one song that just sounds so damn cool. You know? It's just so damn cool. There's just something about it. You know, as I go to the share the screen right now at the moment so you can actually hear. And then maybe it'll inspire you to put it on at least your playlist. Whatever you want to do after the fact, that's up to you.
But just a normal playlist song.
Yeah. See, you can hear this, by the way.
It's quiet, but yeah.
Oh my goodness. Remember the weekend used to look like this?
Well, I can't see it, but.
Oh, wait. I didn't actually share the screen. Sorry.
No, you did.
Like, this is. Isn't this...
I do remember the time.
I love this song so much. Fellow Canadian as well. But that's me sharing this, so.
There you go. And thank you, The Weeknd.
Oh, man. Ryan, what are your top three sexy time songs?
Well, so sure. First of all, as you all know, I'm married. So most nights it's I touch myself. Thank you. Thank you for the joke. That's obviously not one of the songs, Matt. I just wanted to tell a little joke, a married guy joke. So I also went in very similar direction that you did. I just kind of picked three songs that I liked that had a kind of a nice beat, whatnot. The first one being a weekend song as well. I Feel It Coming. Another double entendre if you really want it to be. But I do actually genuinely really like that song. It has a nice beat, not too slow, not too fast. So that's number one or three. I didn't really put them in a specific order here. And next one for the lady in my life, the lady. Just one, again, married guy. Good For You by Selena Gomez. They can't all be rap songs about, you know, these women. Sometimes you have to put the ladies on there, let them take charge. Good For You by Selena Gomez. Again, not too fast, not too slow. I need that Goldilocks beat. All right, the slow I can't do. I'll get bored, fall asleep. And then fast I can't do for totally different reasons. So again, the Goldilocks beat, love that. And then last, I won't lie to you, Matt. This one is a little bit different than the other two. But I'm a big Lil Wayne fan. Mm-hmm. And the only song Lil Wayne has that A, people know, and B, could be used in that way is the hypersexualized Lollipop. So I put that as number one on my list. Mm-hmm. Like your number one, mm-hmm. I have never actually used that one, but I do like that song mm-hmm. quite a bit. I don't know that I could live up to the stakes set by choosing that song. If someone chooses that song, then you should assume that they're going to be quite gifted, but great song.
All right, Cara, what would you say for your three sexy time songs?
I mean, I'm not married, but I'm like kind of common law at this point. We're definitely getting married one day, so I don't know. I'll just say I'm married. But yeah, I mean, we don't really play music. I've never really played music while doing anything, even one night stands. But like, if I'm thinking hypothetically, if I need a playlist, I have three, but overall those three, I will put the Seabat Hudson Mohawk song that I told you about, that one guy, because that shit's funny as hell. If I could find someone that could smash to that song, they would just be, because that it's impossible. If you find some way to make love to that song, you have to be like a sex god. Okay, but I don't tend to listen to a lot of like music with beats. Like, I mostly listen to like slower indie rap or indie rock kind of stuff. So I guess more romantic songs. Fall Into You by Oscar Lange.
Mm-hmm. I actually know that one.
Yeah, I really like that song. It's very pretty. I have to remember the artist. Wet Bandits, Movies as Friends. I like that one. And if I'm picking something with a beat, I really like Peaches and Cream by Snoop Dogg. I really like that song. I've liked that song for years. Too. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it. Most of the songs on my phone on my playlist aren't really smash songs. They're more be
Love
baked
song.
and lay down and look at the ceiling songs.
Oh yeah, I have a whole playlist for that. It's called Relax.
Yeah.
All aspects of what that can mean. But last thing before we say goodbye, I am just simply going to play you a video and you enjoy it. Here we go. Look at this. Look how far we've come in society. All right, hold up, hold up, hold up. Oh man. Oreos, M&Ms, edible cookie dough, whipped cream, cherries, and a
Okay.
spoon. Go crazy.
That's smart.
But look how the hell that has to be 14, like 10,000 calories.
I mean, yeah,
For
no.
those listening, somebody put a edible cookie dough thing,
Or ice cream or something, yeah.
ice cream, and they put cherries, whipped cream, M&Ms, and mini Oreos, and they're just going ham. Oh man, no wonder why we have a health problem in this country.
I mean, listen, it's smart, but yeah,
Would
definitely a lot of calories there.
you eat
Yeah. I would
that?
eat everything but the cherries. My dog loves whipped cream. He is absolutely
Oh.
obsessed. Like, if I get ice cream from somewhere and they give me like a little side dish of whipped cream, I just put it on the floor and his eyes are like this the whole time he's licking it up.
You know
Yeah,
who
my
has the
dog.
best wet cream whipped cream? Starbucks. I love their whipped
Yeah,
cream.
so my dog loves the pup cups that Starbucks gives him. Big,
Yeah.
big fan of that whipped cream.
Let's get it. Well, another successful show in the books. Thank you so much, Carl and Ryan, for the great work as always. And we'll see you very, very soon.
Sounds
See ya.
good. See ya.